one of your biggest fears is always that you'll let people down and that you won't do a very good job. And I think as a very young coach, I struggled with that. Becoming a head coach is hard enough. You're trying to figure out how to manage another person and an assistant. You're trying to understand how you do things. Larry was an amazing mentor, but Larry's Larry. And what I had to figure out is who is Heather. And that took a little while.
This is the Leave It Better podcast, powered by the Side Out Foundation. Here's your host, Hall of Fame coach, Janice Kruger.
In this podcast today, we're going to be interviewing Heather Pavlik. Heather Pavlik is an amazing volleyball coach who is built and sustained a Division III volleyball program at Juniata College, starting with her place as a player there, a very successful setter. And today we talk about that journey and the different challenges she faced as she's gone through this role of becoming the head coach. Her success is amazing. The last 2 years, Heather has won the Division III championship. And in fact, during that time, she's lost only one match in 2 years with the student athletes there that she's guided, molded, and built into just this incredible team and program. Heather and I were first introduced to each other, and I believe as a player, I had watched some of the competitions with Juniata. And also, Heather was a part of a Dig Pink event there in the early years when she was still an assistant coach. And during that time, I got to know her. Plus, she married Mark Pavlik, who is a friend and acquaintance of mine from my early days coming to the University of Maryland as the head coach. So our beginnings start with my very first move to the University of Maryland and into the state of Maryland. There's a relationship that then transpires between Heather and my friend of my first times in Maryland, Mark Pavlik, where they ended up being married. The two of them have built exceptionally successful programs, one in Division III at Juniata and one at the University of Penn State University. Heather will talk a little bit about the challenges and the experiences she has being married to another head coach in the sport of volleyball, raising a family, and lessons learned with each other that then help in guiding their son, Jackson, to be successful in the area he chooses to put his energies in theater. There's been many things that I've been so impressed with. Her presence, and I think at some point I tell her that I think I want to go play for her. Now, that's probably not practical at this point, but she is such a rounded person who knows herself and who has really tackled the journey of following somebody that was super successful and learning how to do it her way. It's not done in the way of the people before her. She was ready to take over. And I think that piece of this conversation is very intriguing to me. She talks about performance anxiety as one of the things that is not only important with her coaching her volleyball players and training and teaching them, but also with her son. Also, I was very moved by Heather and her complete and total understanding of her role, where she has not left out one aspect of coaching these young women, running a Division III program, and providing them, I guess, with the best opportunity to be the best that they can be. And she's really come through on that as she'll talk about winning the last 2 years, the championship of Division III, losing one match only. Truly exceptional. Heather, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You're a fun person to research and to see all of your accolades and your school's accolades. I'm just going to go through a few of those before we go into any questions. But you're entering your 13th season as the head coach at Juniata. This year, you won your second national championship on your own as the head coach to 2022 and 2023. And during those two seasons, you've lost only one match. Okay, wow. Crazy, Heather. You're the only program in NCAA Division III history to have been in every Division III championship playoff. The only one, which is quite astonishing. In the last 5 years, Juniata has been in the Final Four. What an accomplishment that is. You did graduate from Juniata. There you earned All-American honors, I know, for 3 years, I believe, 92, 93, 94, as a setter, which is huge. And you're one of six former collegiate players named to the NCAA Division III Volleyball Silver Anniversary Team. In 2005, you were inducted into the Hall of Fame at Juniata. And you're also the Mid-Atlantic Conference All-Century Team and Hall of Famer. And academically, you know, I'm always talking volleyball, but the academics that you are the steward over, you've had 7-8 players receive academic awards under your tutelage. So what a remarkable career you are having.
Thank you.
So Heather, let's talk a little bit about the position you're in as a head coach of your alma mater, played there as a setter. All-American awards, 3 of those 4 years. Also assistant associate head coach, I believe, with Larry Bach. Super guy and a great coach. And you're taking over this program. And this is your 13th year in that position. And wow, you've had some serious success. You're winning a national championship the last 2 years. And I believe in those last 2 years, we've lost one match.
Correct.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. I think anytime you are taking over a program you played in, one you love with all of your heart, one of your biggest fears is always that you'll let people down and that you won't do a very good job. And I think as a very young coach, I struggled with that. Becoming a head coach is hard enough. You're trying to figure out how to manage another person and an assistant. You're trying to understand how you do things. Larry was an amazing mentor, but Larry's Larry. And what I had to figure out is who is Heather. And that took a little while. And I think the pressure I put on myself was probably not very helpful, but I think understandable. And I think as I grew up a little bit, I figured things out. I found my own style and could keep all of those wonderful things that he had instilled within this program, but put a twist on them that was more conducive to who I am as a person and my personality. And I think I figured that out and feel like everything kind of morphed with me then. Mm-hmm. So we may do things a little bit differently now, but I think the heart of what we do is always rooted in what Larry laid out. And when I have questions about things or I'm thinking about what I want to do, I joke with him all the time. I say, I look over and there's a picture of him across the room. And I say, Larry, what would you do? But then you answer it yourself. So it's been a journey. It's been interesting to watch kind of this program go through some ups and downs over the years. It's been very consistent nationally as a national power, but kind of in and out a little bit of Final Four, Final Eight. And I think some of that has to do with our program. And I think a lot of it has to do with the growth of volleyball in general. Division III volleyball has just, the level has gone up so much. And there's so many good teams out there now that you still have some of the traditional powers that maybe were great when I was playing. But there's so many more wonderful programs now. And so the competition is at a really high level, and it's pretty easy to get great matches in any part of the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to agree with you that the level of volleyball everywhere is just bumped up a notch. Do you think this is because of all the time, I guess, overall, and all the volleyball athletes, the growth of club volleyball? So there's a lot of really good players that you can find out there to bring into your program.
I do. I think that the growth of volleyball in general, so they start playing younger, they're more familiar with the game, and there's so many more of them to recruit. That's very true. But I think the other piece is they, as a generation, have gotten used to traveling with their club teams. So now somebody from Minnesota, say, is not afraid to come to Pennsylvania and play here. So our roster has kind of done the same thing. We used to be primarily Pennsylvania players. And now we have players from all over the country. And I think some of that is because they have experienced more, they've traveled more, they've seen more of the country. And they're not quite as shy to maybe step out of their comfort zone and go to a different place for 4 years.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you are from Pennsylvania, so you were part of that initial beginning of setting the stage for Juniata.
Yes, when I was playing, half of the squad was from Western Pennsylvania. So Pittsburgh, I'm from Johnstown. And then the other half of the team was kind of from that York, Lancaster kind of area. but it was all Pennsylvania. And now we have players from every different region of the country. I love it. I think it brings some wonderful experiences to the team. People from different places who have experienced different things, different backgrounds. I think it's kind of part of the education.
Sure, sure. So your secret to your success there, you've mentioned some things here. Is there more you can round into that that's helped you with your success?
I certainly don't think the history hurts. The history and the tradition, you know, within the volleyball world, Juniata is a known quantity. And I think that helps. But I think the other piece of it is this is a really small community. There's only, you know, 1,200 students here. So you think, wow, how are they a volleyball power? Volleyball is a big deal here. Mm-hmm. It's so entrenched. It's been here for so long. The program started in 1977 and they were successful right away. But we've also had a men's program that's been here since 1991. So there's great volleyball going on year round here. So volleyball is a big deal. And the community really does rally around us. So I think when great players come here as recruits, they say, oh my goodness, people here care a ton about volleyball. And that kind of shines through very, very quickly. And what a neat environment to put an 18-year-old in where the sport you play is the biggest deal on campus. You know, and you mix that with a wonderful community with great academics. And I don't know, I feel once we get people here, it recruits itself. It doesn't happen until they get here because we are a little more remote. We're a little smaller in a small town. But once they experience it, they realize how important volleyball is to this community.
Yeah, that is a special feeling that they're probably getting more used to as well. So the dominance of your program involves a lot of things. Getting the right athletes there, one, your coaching and leadership to bring that group to the pinnacle and win a championship, which I'm guessing is probably your goal every year.
Sure.
And can you talk about that just a little bit with us?
Yeah. You know, for some of the reasons I just mentioned, I think we get really neat, unique and wonderful people here who decide they want to play here. And finding the right people is very important, not only for your team, but also for your staff. I've got an associate head coach, Casey Dale, who's been here for a decade. He's also a Juniata grad, played for the men's program. His sister played for our program. He's been here a long time. We've been blessed with really great student assistants who help out on a daily basis. And in this small place, they're looking for something to do and to be part of something. And it's wonderful to have them here too. So you've got this whole staff of people who are working really hard to help the players reach their goals. But I think we get not only unique players, I think we get amazing families. I think at the Division III level, where you're not talking about full athletic grant and aid, the whole family is involved in the recruiting process. And the whole family has to buy into the idea that this is the right fit for our young adult, and we're going to support her in it. So I think we get families of great people and who buy into coming here for the right reasons. Huntington does not have any nightlife. So, you know, you got to want to be here to be a great student and also a great athlete. And those have to be your top two priorities. So I think we find those right people.
Yeah. Oh, how wonderful. Let's talk about family, the family connection. All right. So, Heather, you are married to a head coach in the same sport within the men's program. He coaches at Penn State University, and I believe you've been married around, what, 25 years, 23 years, somewhere in there?
26.
Now, what is this like to have two head coaches in a community or in a family, two head coaches in a family? Seasons are split, really. You're in the fall and he's in the spring. I would love to be in on some of those conversations that are happening in your household. Tell me, let's talk about that just a little bit, because that's truly amazing, Heather. It's just something special.
You know, it's so interesting because we've been doing it from the very start. So we were both already coaching when our relationship started. And so we really have never known any different. So it's always just kind of been there. And I think it's something that we've grown into over the years, too. I mean, there are times now at this age where we do try to keep the volleyball talk to a minimum at the house because there are other things to talk about. But I think especially me as a young coach, he's a bit older than I am. So he had been doing it for a little bit longer. And I think as a young coach, being able to go home after maybe something didn't go right or you had a rough day, being able to bounce that off someone you trust as much as your spouse, not only because you trust them as an individual, but he's an amazing coach. To get that kind of advice on a daily basis was so helpful to me in my growth. And he and I are also kind of polar opposites with our personalities. So he is much more calm and relaxed and go with the flow and don't worry about it. So I think those really balance each other nicely. Now, I will say we don't have a whole lot of time down. So when we do have it, we've got to make the most of it. And we've got a little time in December, a little time in June, and that's it.
Oh, gosh.
So that is our, that was the struggle for many years, is finding any vacation time, any downtime. And now that our son's a little bit older, he's, you know, in college, it's a little easier to do. But yeah, it's been interesting over the years. And it's kind of neat to be in a house where both people not only love what they do, but they're at their alma maters. So these institutions are in our hearts and they go to the core of kind of who we are at this point. So it's been a very unique and interesting ride.
Yeah. So let's talk about Jackson, your son, just a little bit. Now, I was thinking two head coaches, a lot of volleyball as a young child. Did he catch the bug or does he do something else?
He is not even slightly interested. He is, I shouldn't say that. He was not very interested as a child. And he, it was not into sports whatsoever. We put him in sports when he was little because that's all we knew. And we very quickly found out, no, this is not for him. But he found his own thing at about 10 years old. He's in heavily involved in musical theater. And it's what he's studying in college. It was a blessing. Because when we started to go watch these musical theater shows, it kind of reminded us that we love this and we need to make time for these kind of things. So it was refreshing. It was healthy. I think for him finding his own thing that was not surrounding volleyball was really important. Kind of knew it was a big deal the last couple of years when he would text me as we were going through our playoff run, say, wow, I watched the match. That was amazing. I thought, you did? You've never watched a match before. So, you know, it's as he's growing up, it's kind of morphed into a different kind of fandom a little bit. But it's kept us really grounded, quite honestly.
Yeah. Now, I'm guessing that's a pretty exciting thing, you know, musical theater and just pulling you into something totally different probably is a real treat.
It is, but I think what we figured out too is we could actually help him when he was doing things. Performance is performance, and performance anxiety is performance anxiety. And whether that's on a stage singing and acting and dancing, or whether that's performing in front of a crowd on a court, it's kind of the same thing. And a lot of it goes together. So in a musical, some people have big roles, some people have small roles, but they all have to do them really well in order for a great product to happen. So it was amazing after time how many of these things actually were very, very similar. What we were doing with our players, what he was doing, and what he was pursuing. And I think him seeing us coaching our players and knowing we were pushing them, we're trying to make them better, which means sometimes you push a little bit. But then him knowing behind the scenes how much we love them and how much we care for them, I think actually made him more resilient in what he's doing. And when he has a director or a choreographer who's really tough, he embraces it because he knows they're only doing it because they care. Mm.
Hi there, Janice here. I want to take a minute to tell you about something very personal and important to me, my job. I'm the brand ambassador to the Sight Out Foundation, and I've been a part of it since it began about 20 years ago. Believe it or not, I was recruited to join the Sight Out team by the founder's father. He looked me up online and asked me out to lunch. That's when I got to learn more about his wife, Gloria. Gloria is the reason this Sight Out Foundation exists. Her son and husband wanted to give her more time, and it worked. Gloria was this fiery redhead that was so full of energy and joy and happiness. They'd invite me and my partner over to Thanksgiving, and Gloria would dance around the house. She always made me feel so welcome. I joined the team at Sight Out for the very same reason we get athletes involved with our Dig Pink program. Because I wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself. I wanted to see Gloria have more time, and I was thinking about all my female friends I could potentially be helping. One of the goals of this podcast is to let people know that they can help us help people living with metastatic breast cancer see more tomorrows. How? By harnessing the passion and power of youth volleyball to raise money that will go toward real research and clinical trials that really do give families more time with their loved ones. That's one of my favorite things about this job, is that you can actually see the results of our research and how it helps give people more time. For more information, head to our website, side-out.org. Now back to the show. Wow, that's a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. Takes a while sometimes for that to come through in a lesson, you know, with young kids. So, I see you as just this incredibly positive role model for your players, having played at such a high level there and to having been so successful, and how you develop your kids in terms of teaching skill and your ability to really take that those individuals and wrap them into a team and get some performance out of them that they're really proud of and that can give you the opportunity to win. Can you talk about some of those things that you do or that you face with regards to that team building?
I mean, I think it all starts with making sure that you have the right people in the group and then that you have the right people leading the group. And I think developing those people as they move through their years, not just assuming that, oh, by the time they're a senior, they'll know how to do this, but starting to help them when they're a sophomore or a freshman, find their voice within the group. And them understanding that good ideas come from every place, whether it's a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. And if it's a good idea, it's a good idea. And it doesn't really matter whose idea it was. So making sure that people find their voice, that they have a say, is really important. But in the end, you have to have people who at difficult times will be willing to lead and be willing to jump in. And we've been really blessed with this group. We have a group of older players, some juniors, some seniors, who when things got difficult, they took turns jumping in when we were going through a rough patch or maybe we were getting a little bit complacent. We as coaches didn't necessarily have to step in. They did. And I think a lot of that gets handed down. They had great role models a few years back who taught them how to do it. So I think it's important to have the team leading the team. I think the best teams are team led, not coach led. We're here to help and we're here to guide. But in the end, if you can find a way for them to lead the group, I think you get more buy-in. I think also that complete transparency is really important from coaching staff these days. Being willing to say, you know, I thought that was going to work. It didn't. I'm sorry. That's my fault. Let's change gears here. Let's do something different. I think it's so important because A, it's really transparent, but I think also it's vulnerable. You know, we as coaches are just people too, and we make mistakes, and it's really okay to make mistakes. And if you're willing to admit when you're wrong, then they're going to do the same. And I think it also puts them in a position where when we say in the gym, be aggressive, don't be afraid of anything. We're never going to say, if you prep properly and take a great swing and you miss the court, we're going to shrug our shoulders and not worry about it. Go right back to it. Like, we're known as being a really, really tough serving team. And someone asked me, well, how do you get them to do that? I said, I don't make a big deal about errors. Did you prep properly? Did you have the right thing in your head? And if you did and you went for it, we're not going to worry about that. Because eventually it's going to turn into really good stuff. So I think if you're not fearful and in the way you coach, they won't be fearful in the way they play.
I think I'm going to come play for you for a while. So life lessons that happen along the way. And there's some things I think I read about you that you had said about being comfortable with the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that probably fits into what you were just talking about there as well.
Yeah, I think any of our players would probably parrot that back. You know, getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. The idea that when you have a little bit of discomfort, that's when growth happens. That's the growing part. If we're comfortable too often, we're probably not growing. And so we kind of talk about growth from the standpoint of try something new. It's going to make you uncomfortable. Embrace it. Lean into it. Because we'll talk about becoming comfortable with the uncomfortable. We'll also talk about embracing the suck.
Right.
And they're hard and they're not fun. But how do you embrace that? How do you find a way to use it as motivation? How do you find a way to do it together? And afterwards you say, boy, we got through something really difficult together. We're probably better for it. Mm-hmm. I think we lean into that a lot. I think we also talk about keeping the main thing the main thing. And that was a big deal for us this year because around you, we started the year saying, all the people around this campus, your parents, your families, other people, they're all going to be talking about expectations. Oh, we expect this team to do A, B, or C. This team should be great. This team... It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Only the people in this room matter. The people you can look in the eyes right now matter. And what we think of ourselves is way more important than what anyone else out there thinks of us. So keeping the main thing the main thing. So I'll say that, keep the main thing the main thing, and they'll laugh and they'll giggle because it's just said so much. And it's said over and over again, just like getting comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But there are reminders that what you do daily matters towards your goal. Not what everyone thinks or what everyone's talking about. You have to take that daily approach or the goal becomes too big.
I love that. All of that, by the way.
Thanks.
I think you mentioned somewhere also is being comfortable or being okay with change, mm-hmm. as change is mm-hmm. happening.
Yeah.
How's that used in your gym?
Well, I think we also have to do that as coaches. Mm-hmm. The game changes. Mm-hmm. How we coach the game changes. I'm not the same coach I was 10 years ago because I can't be. You have to meet them where they're at. And we're living in a different time now than we were then. And I think in getting them to understand the same thing, I think one of the challenges we had over the last 2 years, last year, so in 22, we were going through our season, having a great season. And one of our younger players said, oh, it just doesn't feel like last year. You know, the year before we had... you know, lost in a national semifinal in 5 games. And I kept saying, it's not going to, it never will feel the same. That's okay. It doesn't mean it's better or worse. It's just different. And we kind of have to lean into that a little bit. And I remember very distinctly because one of our student assistants is a wonderful personality, funny, witty, smart. After we won the championship in 2022, we were in the locker room. He said, "Boy, guys, this just doesn't feel like last year. It's so much better." What a wonderful reminder. And so we really had to do the same thing this year because we had pretty much the same group. We had graduated some seniors, but not a large proportion of the team. And a lot of the people who were on the floor when we won the 2022 championship were back, almost everybody. And so I kept saying, it's not going to be the same. It's a different journey. It's a different ride. We're different people for having won. And that can be good or it can be bad. And we have to figure out which we want to be. So I think that was just part of the whole journey.
Wow, you've been around a lot of phenomenal success. Can you describe something where you felt like, wow, that I just witnessed something that was really great? Greatness is out there. I saw it in this person, this team, this program. Can you give an example of something that you felt that way about?
Oh, there's quite a few, actually. I mean, we're right over the mountain from Penn State. So I watched that team win four in a row at one point. Watched that. And that was true dominance. That was true greatness on a scale that I had never seen before. With their women, winning the four in a row was truly remarkable. But I also watched my husband's team sometimes just doing things that were absolutely amazing. I mean, they won the national championship in 2008, and that team was phenomenal. But yeah, I think there's lots of examples in the volleyball world that are really right here. I watched our men's team here back before there was an NCAA championship for Division III. They won, I think, four or five in a row, those Molten Invitational championships. And that was truly a remarkable run as well. So there was a lot close to home here that were moments that I went, wow, do people realize what they're seeing?
Yeah.
Because after it's over, you look back and go, maybe I didn't appreciate that as much as I should have at the moment.
Yeah, good point. There is so much success in your area up there in Pennsylvania. It truly is amazing. So you talked a little bit about some of this, challenges, struggles, that you might have come across, difficulties, maybe even failures that have sort of helped you, or where you've gone through that has made you a better coach or a better person.
I think that usually coaches think that everything's fine. And I think players think, oh, well, if they're not saying everything, everything's wrong. And I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. And that is something that I have had to really work hard at. I tend to be a little more of an introvert by nature. And so I think learning to communicate and almost over-communicate with the players has been something that I've had to really work hard at. And I think I have worked really hard at that in the last probably 4 to 5 years, making sure that I never assume that they're okay. Make sure they're okay. Ask them if they're okay. Talk to them. If you make a decision, sit them down and explain why you made the decision. Because I think in the absence of explanation, their minds sometimes go to not a great place, when that can be very much not true at all. So I think over-communicating is something that I've learned from. And I think I had some failures in the past because I didn't communicate well enough, or I assumed that everything was okay when it wasn't. And so I think it's just something I've paid a lot of attention to and worked very hard to try to be better at. Always room to grow, always room to get better, but I think I've gotten better at it.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned introversion, being an introvert. I'm definitely in that category as well. And I learned in a conversation with my head coach from the University of Nebraska that she was also, which I would have never, ever, ever thought that. How do you see that helping you? It's just like completely knowing what's going on up here in the gray matter area, and how someone's comments to you made a big difference. I just hear it more than I ever thought. And to hear you say it makes me go, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I think it's mostly about how we handle our energy, right? What recharges us? What do we need in order to be our best version of ourselves? And I think what it's done for me is understanding that's who I am, that I'm going to need some time down by myself to make sure that I'm recharged and I'm the best I can be for my team or for my staff. It's something I've paid attention to a little bit more as I've gotten older. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also helped me really understand my teams. On any given team, you're going to have some of both and some people who fall directly in the middle. And I think it's helped me understand better maybe how to encourage my team to let each other have what they need to be their best. I think the locker room is a big place, right? Where they're getting ready for a game and everyone's like, oh, come on, let's everybody get hyped up. That's not what everybody needs. And understanding that it's really okay not to be alike in those ways is important. And I think understanding myself, understanding my staff and what they need to be their best, I think just helps the whole thing work. And different players having different people they can come to because say, wow, I associate, I see what you are, I see how I am. And they may find more affinity to talking to one coach or another just because it's a little more similar for them.
Mm-hmm. So you talked early on about the growth of volleyball and, you know, athleticism within the female athlete, for sure, males as well. But the access we have to more training, more physical training, more movement training, how do you see that? And is that something in your program that is an important aspect?
Absolutely. I think what these athletes have access to now is so, so nice because we're not just talking about strength and conditioning. Strength and conditioning is really important for sure. But I think the depth of strength and conditioning, not just pushing some weights around, but like you had mentioned, movement drills, mm-hmm. Understanding how their body works, the differences between the way people move and what is the maximum for one individual and how they reach that versus how somebody else reaches that. Nutrition, big deal. Nutrition, understanding hydration, understanding how to eat, how to fuel yourself. I think the idea of sleep, you know, college kids are some of the most sleep deprived people on the earth. And them understanding exactly how a night or two of poor sleep would impact them 2 days later is something that I had no clue about when I was playing. And I think they have a better understanding of that. So I think it's a whole grouping of things that they have access now to. Others, mental conditioning. Mental conditioning is a huge deal because if we can train their bodies all we want, but if they're not okay here, it's not going to matter. And so the idea of, we talk about load management with physical skills. There's mm-hmm. load management with mental mm-hmm. as well. Proper recovery time. I think recovery is as important, if not more important, than when we train. So giving them the proper time at the proper intervals to be away from the game, to have a break. Also helping them understand themselves a little bit better, how they think, how they talk to themselves. The idea of positive self-talk in their head changes things. It changes the way they respond to coaching. It changes the way they perform. I think we spend a lot more time on that. And we spend a lot more time talking about it. We spend a lot more time practicing good self-talk, good recovery skills, how they wake up every morning. You know, do you look in the mirror and just tell yourself how great you are? You should.
You should.
They're amazing. So we talk even about, hey, look in the mirror and tell me every morning you have to tell yourself 5 great things about you. Not about anyone else. Look yourself in the mirror. It's about you. And I think all of that matters a lot.
Mm-hmm. Hi there. I want to take a minute to tell you about the Dig Pink program. You most likely know I've got some history as a head volleyball coach. Coaching for me was about providing opportunities for my players to grow and learn life lessons and to become the best volleyball players they could be. At the Side Out Foundation, we believe in using the power and influence of sport to build student athletes as people on and off the court. Players learn the value and importance of giving back to their community, working as a team, and taking initiative to get involved, all while directly helping people living with metastatic breast cancer and funding game-changing research. That is the Dig Pink journey. Dig Pink gives those wanting to do good a chance to be a part of something bigger than just volleyball. For more information, head to our website, side-out.org. All right, back to the show. You know, athletic departments, athletic directors, women's senior women's administrators, the support staff. I mean, for you at Juniata, I'm kind of guessing that's got to be something that's pretty solid for you to have the kind of success that you're having.
Yeah. So, you know, we've always been very supported. So I've had two ADs while I've been here. Larry was the AD when I was working for him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So my boss was the AD. He did a really good job with that. But then Greg Curley, who's our men's basketball coach, also was doing a dual role where he was our AD and also the basketball coach. And God bless him. That's a lot. And he handled it very, very well. And a couple years back, they made the AD position full-time on its own. And we hired Nikki Ayers, who is a former soccer athlete here. And she's been phenomenal. She's been really good for me. Mm. I think that it's just different. And I have a female AD for the first time. It's the first female I've ever reported to here. And she's just been phenomenal. And I think very supportive of all of the things we were talking about is making sure that we have everything in place. You know, they can train at a high level, but we want to do all of those other pieces really well so that we don't tear them apart at the seams. They can be great students and succeed in the classroom, and ours do. They're really, really very academically gifted as well. And they can be successful here. And how do you do that? Well, you provide things like making sure that nutritionally they're getting what they need, that they're getting the proper downtime and recovery, that we have great strength and conditioning people. We have great people in the training room. You know, we just added a position, which is another female. Brittany DeHaven is in a position of as associate AD who is looking at student welfare, you know, and taking care of our athletes. And so I think it's really important to do all of those pieces really well to try to help them be successful, because I think the last thing you want is them feeling pulled apart at the seams where they can't manage everything at once. And I think we have a big hand in making sure that we keep things in perspective. You know, there were many times this year where, you know, we always give them Sundays off, but we also took some Tuesdays off and said, you know what?
Yes.
Not practicing tonight. Let's go get the academics in order. Let's have some recovery time, catch up on your work so you don't feel behind. And I think in the past, I think 5 years ago, I never would have done that. But I started to realize that more training doesn't equal better stuff all the time. There is a limit. And if you have happy and healthy student athletes, they're probably going to be more successful.
Yeah. It was later in my career as well when I started to figure out a little time off was really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Heather, thank you so much for joining me here today, this conversation and your insights into the world of volleyball, and have been truly fun to hear. I wish you the best in your next season.
Thank you.
And, you know, three in a row? I don't know. Maybe, huh?
That's the only question I get. And I keep saying, I'm going to enjoy this one right now. But okay. We'll get back to work at some point.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Heather. It's been great having you on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Leave It Better podcast, powered by the Side Out Foundation. We appreciate your feedback, so be sure to check out our website, www.side-out.org.